Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
This podcast is a Royfield Brown production. Find others on iTunes.
All right. Yeah, Anna.
Okay, so I'm just recording this for the benefit of SpeakPipe, which is hosted on the Dumpty Dum website. Now, Dumpty Dum is a fan podcast for Archer's listeners. Ironically, it takes longer each week to listen to that than it does the entire omnibus. But one fantastic feature that they've been plugging for the last few weeks is that they've been really kindly promoting this conference. So we wanted to sort of say hello back. On a weekly basis, the show starts, for those of you who don't listen to Dumpty Dum, with people sending in a Dumpty Dum, which is them singing Barwick Green and so on. Now, we believe that this might be the largest Dumpty Dum that's happened. I'm hoping, actually, that people listening on the live stream will by now have directed their browsers to dumptydum.com, opened up SpeakPipe, and be ready to sing along also, in the hope that the presenters can then splice together this kind of multimedia, very hyper-digital, post-truth Dumpty Dum. Yeah, exactly. It's fake news. None of this is really happening. We're all a figment of your imagination. For the benefit of Dumpty Dum listeners, for whom I'm obviously recording, we're at the Archers Academic Archers Conference in Lincoln. It's the most fantastic Friday and Saturday that I've had in a very long time, and it's not even 10 o'clock in the morning. So I will count us all in on something like a starting note. You can pick your own key if you would rather. But here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Dumpty 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 Dum. Dumpty Dumpty Dum Dum. Dumpty 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 Dum. Dumpty Diddly Dum. Dumpty Diddly Dumpty Diddly Dumpty Diddly Dum. Dumpty 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 Dum. Dumpty Diddly Dum.
Well done, everybody.
This is Dumpty Dum, the show about the reality docu drama that's centered on Ambridge in the heart of the Midlands. I'm the spotless B&B, that is Royfield Brown. And with me, I have the sleeping bag on the floor of the cider shed, that is
Lucy Freem.
And the last part of our Grundy guaranteed money spinner, folks, is you. Now, this week's Dumpty Dum brought a tear to my eye. I don't know about you, Lucy.
Yeah, no, it really did.
A tear to my eye, my chest puffed out with pride. I sent it to my mum. I said, "Mum, listen to this. This is a culmination of 3 years' worth of podcasting." Yeah.
Be proud, Mum!
Well, my mum said, "Well done, son." And well done to all of those people at the Academic Archers Conference in Lincoln. And also to me main side chick, Freya, because she's basically been the conduit for all of this. But seriously, folks, that was just like proper awesome. It's going to go down in the Dumpty Dum annals, isn't it, Luce?
Yes.
Awesome. So what does that mean exactly, go down in our annals?
Well, I was just debating whether or not we could make an annals joke, but we can't. So let's just move on.
We will. Lucy, somebody else wants to go to a conference based around the Archers and get a whole group of people to sing a Dumpty Dum. How can they do that?
If you would like to sing us a Dumpty Dum, leave us a plot prediction, or entirely vanish for a week midway through a gin still installation, call us on 02030313105 or leave us a message on SpeakPipe. Thanks to Cosmo for his podcast roundups and for doing the Dumpty Dogs, Shedcode for sponsoring us, and to Derek for loaning the back bedroom. If you've been on his Twitter feed, which is Greavesy17, He uses a pseudonym for obvious reasons. You'll know Derek has been to Beaver Town for the first time this weekend. he particularly enjoyed the dark purpley one with the frothing head, and the beer wasn't bad either.
Hey, well done you. on this week's episode, we ain't got that many calls. So that's going to be lots of talk about historical battles. Oh, maps. Oh, my God, Lucy. I tell you, I actually properly cried tears. No, you'll like this. You'll like this. But anyway, sorry, folks. I need to come back onto the matters in hand.
Oh, right, they're with a spoon and all the accents.
No, but I tell you, my God. All right. On this week's episode, we have calls from Bly Spirit, who thinks that harassment might be taking things a little too seriously. Naked Fingers, who's probably been on the source, who thinks that Miranda's a monster. Witherspoon, who thinks there's been a U-turn. Couldn't agree with you more, sir. And Goddess Diva, who loves a bit of loathsome Miranda. But first, before all of that, before I tell you all about the film Lion and how it made me cry real manly tears, it's Juicy Lucy Freeman's Week in Ambridge.
Jennifer is planning a party akin to a Babylonian orgy. Ooh. We're going to show Miranda Elliott, said Jennifer. Aha, said Brian cleverly. I've worked it out. This is all about Miranda Elliott, isn't it? We're going to keep the party local and lovely, said Jennifer, so lucky old Miranda can look forward to one of Tom's sausages atop an upcycled scone washed down with a glass of Grundy cider wrung out of Joe's truss. The replies to the home farm invitations are coming in thick and fast. Thick and fast. Oh, Chris Carter and Alice. Miranda is struggling with Ambridge's 24-hour party culture. The poor cow is wandering around Borthwick, desperately trying to find something to do. She's got Justin under constant surveillance, but once she'd locked him in the downstairs lavatory with a copy of Top Gear magazine, she went to Underwoods. Lillian had ransacked the cork, wedge and satin undercracker department and eaten all the olives. She went to the pub, drank some of what they pretend is Shiraz. It's not really Shiraz. As she quickly noticed, it's Ribena, but Kenton stuck a plaster over the label and written Shira on it. But Lillian was in there too, showing Jolene the lingerie she got out of the reduced to clear box. The stains should come out if I put it on a bowl wash with a bit of bleach and I'll just use loads of Febreze, darling. Miranda had a whinge at the lack of culture in Ambridge. Oh, Miranda, check out Clary's rubber gloves at the dairy. There's bloody loads of it in there. Then, in an effort to avoid Lillian stalking, she stumbled. She ambled over to the stables to annoy Shula. Miranda suggested that Shula could install hot showers. I prefer rubbing down the old-fashioned way, Shula said. Yes, said Miranda, but you don't half ponk a bit. Have you never heard of Sanex? Still at the stables, Anisha was complaining about a rude client. I've learnt to take no notice of bigotry, said Alistair, the white, wealthy, middle-class, privately educated, middle-aged professional. Yes, it must be hell for you, Alistair. Your idea of bigotry is when you suspect Waitrose of deliberately running down the Stitchelton. Harassment Burns has added cardboard ripping to his busy policeman's life of bunting, hunting and managing the cricket team. He hasn't found the bunting and the cricket team hate him, but he's dead good at cardboard. He's decided to field a mixed team next season, he says. I think he's talking about cricket, but it could be a really involved euphemism. The driving lessons with Freddie are not going tremendously well. Every time Kenton asks him to find the biting point, Freddie bites him. He can't tell his left from his right, and he says a three-point turn isn't called a three-point turn anymore. Apparently, it's called a backy-forward crash. At first, Kenton thought that Freddie was having a problem with a girl and said, whatever you've done, I've done it with bells on, which sounds both noisy and uncomfortable. Who is he? Timothy Claypole? Anyway, Kenton has agreed to wear a Jules gilet, a neckerchief and a Bowden skirt to impersonate Elizabeth at parents' evening. He's going to look like Mrs. Doubtfire. Nope, can't see anything going wrong with that as long as he steers clear of tents. In another scheme that is just absolutely bound not to fail in any way, shape or form, Eddie has decided that we're sitting on a little gold mine, Clary love, and they should open a B&B. This all came about because of the departure of Big Eric and Bex, who had such a lovely time when they stayed. No, not that Eric and Bex, the other ones. You know, the ones we think we like because we always think they're the ones in the Volvo, but it's not them. It's the other ones. You do know they've got a Dachshund and his mother's in a wheelchair. She can't stick prawns and he looks a bit like Ian McCaskill. You do know. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Clary pointed out that it wasn't their gold mine to be sitting on and said, absolutely not. No way, Jose. Forget it. No, niet. So the first guest will arrive soon to enjoy the Grundy's unique blend of overcrowding ferrets and faux bonhomie. The comedy opportunities of the Grundy's operating outside their social sphere is just the gift that keeps on giving. How long will it be before Joe clambers into a guest's bed or loses his ferrets? Oh, hold my aching sides. The end.
Oh, I quite enjoyed that this week. We didn't have you last week, Lucy.
Pardon?
We didn't have you last week doing this. The roundup.
I know, love. I wasn't here.
I know. I missed it. That's what I'm trying to say.
Oh, I see.
Good heavens, woman. Take a compliment. You can take this. Sorry, I'm British. I know I can't take a compliment a little bit too far.
If you were closer, I'd have punched you. Sorry. I thought you meant I was supposed to have sent one from New York or something. I didn't know what you
were on about. No, I'm just saying the show wasn't the same without you. Some people might say it was better, but I disagree. I'd just say it was different.
I think some people did say it was better, actually. But anyway.
We had a proper lovely chat, I tell you.
I know. You and Hardy reminiscing about Birmingham.
Yeah. And did you hear what he said about Jill?
No. I haven't got to that bit yet. What? He said he fancies Jill?
Yeah. And I went, I beg your pardon. And then I said, well, yeah, you know, back in the day, you see pictures of Jill in the 60s and 70s, and she's a saucy lady. So I said, oh, yeah. And he went, no, now.
Whoa.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's unusual.
Yeah, he likes to be controversial, that chap. I'll tell you, there's significant proportions of our chat didn't make the podcast. That's all I'm going to say. I am not joking. Whereas verbatim, whatever crapola you and I say makes the show. No siree. Yeah. The censor's knife needs to come out. Yeah, he's a proper fire starter. That one, I tell you. He's like, oh, goodness. Yeah. So anyway, New York. How was it?
It was fantastic. And the Dumpty Dummers were just lovely. Mm-hmm. Lovely, lovely, lovely.
Now, before we come on to the Dumpty Dummers.
It was very, very strange sitting there talking about Ambridge in Manhattan. And it was just nuts, really. But just really, really friendly and lovely. And they were all so... Can't keep thinking of words that aren't lovely. But there was just everybody was very warm and friendly. And I felt very... welcome, and it was like I'd known them for ages, which was really odd considering that.
Well, they all think that they know you because you're with them.
I know, but we live to the Dumpty Dummers, don't we? So we feel like we know them too. It's
true that. But then again, there must have been a few that hadn't ever caller in or read in that were there.
Yeah, there was Jenna, but Jenna has email her in a read.
Oh, what? She came down from Canada. Am I getting my...
You're getting your Jenna's model. Oh. She's from Brooklyn.
Okay, right. Smashing. And the Norwood Club's lovely, isn't it?
Very nice. Mm. Very nice.
Well and done, Angus, handsome husband.
Angus goes up and down in the lift. Basil would have had a fit. He'd have been quivering on the floor. But no, just Angus just leaps in and leaps out and at the appropriate floor and everybody knows him. And he runs through and everyone shouts, hi, Angus. And he goes zooming past. He's ace.
Oh, awesome. What was the weather like? Because it's been unseasonably mild generally this winter in New York.
Well, I think you could say mild was not what it was when we were there, although every taxi driver we talked to said, oh my god, you should have been here last week, and to try and tell us that how actually warm it was now compared with how it was before. But it was snowy.
Do you know, I always say you're really good at accents.
I know, I can't do a New York accent.
Yeah, keep them to the British side of the Atlantic. Good heavens, woman. Right, so
yes.
good time was had by all, basically.
Really lovely. Mm. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Well, I missed you. Hardeep thinks you're wonderful. It would have been nice to have a monologue, but you needed to spend the time in the Big Apple, in the bosom of your family, didn't you? You needed a break.
Yes, in the bazookas of my family, I did.
Absolutely wonderful. Now, I was distressed, as was many a listener to The Archers last week, That miscarriage. Holy moly, loose.
Do you know, can we play Witherspoon's call quickly?
Why don't we play it at normal speed? Why do we need to play it quickly?
Why can we play it now, I mean?
All right.
Hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling. Tossed salads and scrambled eggs. Mercy.
Greetings, Lucy Royfield, Millie Bell, and all Dumpty Dummers around the world. Witherspoon and Angus Haggis here. We're still basking in the glow of the great meetup we had on Monday, but more on that later. First, the week started off sadly with the real-life death of Sarah Coward. Then Kirstie's miscarriage, which was very jarring as well. It was as if the scriptwriters decided to make a U-turn in the middle of a story. There had been so much anticipation about whether Tom and Kirstie would eventually get back together, or would they wind up raising their child in separate but cooperative households. Was this miscarriage planned all along, to add one more shovel full of crap to the mound of misery at Bridge Farm? Or did the writers decide that they had made a mistake and that little Henry and Jack shouldn't be blessed with a cousin after all? Last Friday, I did some calculating and concluded that the unborn baby was exactly 22 weeks post-conception, old enough that if he were delivered alive, he could be whisked away by helicopter to a NICU in Birmingham, and we would have a micro-preemie storyline. The podcast Radiolab did an excellent and very moving exploration of this topic last year. Alas, it was not to be the case. So on to happier thoughts. This week's other events showed how great it is to be an Archers fan and a Dumpty Dummer. First off, we didn't hear from Toby and Pip at all. We had a wonderful get-together of new and not-so-new friends in the Big Apple and got to meet the Grand Dame herself, the funny and very lovely Lucy. Meanwhile, Royfield was hosting the podcast with the very interesting and entertaining Hardeep. Then on Valentine's Day, Radio 4 had a great play, hashtag love, which was kind of like stepping through the looking glass, as we, the loyal, tweeting, social media-loving Archers audience, were part of the fun. Lastly, Angus is especially looking forward to hearing the reports from this weekend's Academic Archers Conference. We look forward to new insights into our favorite radio program. Until then, talk to you soon.
I agree with the spoon, and I think, do you know what? I had a snip, and I do not, I am not, this is not coming from any place of knowledge, because as we know, no one tells us nothing. But I would not be surprised if Kirstie, the actress that plays Kirstie, didn't pop up on some TV thing soon. Because I think that that miscarriage was not planned. I think that was a hurried U-turn, and that she was intended, it was intended to be Tom and Kirstie, that they were going to raise the child together. And I agree with Witherspoon, and that it was a bit of an abrupt turnaround.
Mm.
And I think she's got a part in something and she's going to nick off.
Mm. Do you think?
And they couldn't let her do it without them. They couldn't do it without her.
Kirstie couldn't have a child without the actress being in the show. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, exactly.
I think what you just said sounds eminently plausible. Another reading of this is that this is the new script editor kind of, you know, exercising a little bit of creative control, you know, and saying...
I think this is that would be a horrid way to do it.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know. There's something about it. It's kind of, yeah.
Well, I suppose, right, it feels like an abrupt turn for us, but dare I say it, a miscarriage is, isn't it? I suppose you can see it coming sometimes, you know, the poor woman can be ill and there might be some bleeding or whatever, but invariably, this is the way that it happens.
Yeah.
But I've got to say, you know, hats off in terms of, we know Annabelle Dowler can just act, and some more. Mm. But, you know, Roy played a blinder. It was just a beautifully crafted a bit of writing that was delivered by consummate actors. It was just amazing. And it made us all stop dead in our tracks, didn't it?
Yeah. I do think actually Ian Pepperell was absolutely fantastic as Roy in that scene. When he did that kind of despairing, oh, mate, to Tom. Mm. He just did not know what to say. And I went all kind of blurry vision because it was just that kind of despairing. This is just, you know, when, you know, bad things happen and that there is no rhyme or reason to them and they just do and that's where we are. And then I got all emotional again when Jazza was talking to Tom and said, look, bad things happen to good people and, you know, you can't let it sort of impact on everything. And I just think whoever wrote, I can't remember the name of the writer, but the blokes talking, it's a completely different way that blokes talk about this stuff to each other than women do. There's kind of a level of inarticulacy, but a huge wealth of meaning behind what they do say. And I thought it was absolutely lovely. And I thought that Tom, Roy and Jazza all absolutely were absolutely equal to Annabelle Dowler in that episode. Last week's episodes.
You're absolutely right. And you know what we haven't done in a long time, Lucy?
Oh, a clappy clap.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, it was lovely. Very moving.
I still think that Tom and Crust will end up together, mind you. But maybe yeah. That's...
She just keeps saying, we don't work, Tom. We don't work, doesn't she? Mm.
And there were lots of clues in the whole Jazza and Tom conversation about Tom's real... kind of emotional state vis-a-vis her and kind of what had happened before, which I thought was rather brilliant. I didn't mean at all to make this link, but there is a link with, though I didn't cry tears listening to that episode last Sunday, it absolutely did bring a lump to my throat, as it did to everybody. But Lucy, I cried real manly tears where I had to say to myself, right, no, there's precipitation. You know, because it has been raining like the clappers,
the flappy thing in front of your eyes like Gwyneth Paltrow does at the Oscars.
Oh no.
Stop mascara running, so you have to you do this stupid flapping your hands around in front of your eye. I don't know what it's supposed to, it doesn't have any effect at all, but you see actresses doing it all the time. It's ridiculous.
Well, I tell you, every Oscars season, there's a whole load of those Oscar movies that are on the interwebs. And if you know where to find them, you can download them and watch them for free. And I'm sufficiently a cowboy when it comes to the internet, so I have my illegal bits of software to download all these Oscar movies. And I've gone through them, done Fences, Hell or High Water, etc. Fences, great. Hell or High Water, I found that highly enjoyable, which is set in Texas, and a couple of bank robbers. Just brilliant. Holy camoly, Lucy. Lion. I can't remember the last time I cried at the end of a film. It is the most beautiful thing. And I suppose the tenuous link, which I was going to try and make before, is that he uses Google Earth. Google Earth is used as a tool for him to get back home. And obviously me being a map freak. And again, I've got to thank everybody. This is becoming a real thing now. When any one of our Dumb Dumb listeners who happens to be on Twitter spots a map, they're like, right, Royfield, I will include Royfield in on this tweet. So thank you for that. So I've even now got a map of all the languages in Brooklyn from Witherspoon. You know, I've got my superpower. My map superpower. I got that slightly wrong. Glyn Fuller Love is awesome. He also has the same superpower as me, and he spotted a little error when we were looking at Witherspoon's globe when I said it was pre 1956, but actually it was it's 5760. But anyway.
Oh, well, that's it then. It's all
there
over.
You go. There you go. But anyway, moving swiftly on.
I'm amazed that got through.
Oh, coming back, but this is a serious thing, folks. I cannot recommend a film more than Lion. If you want to see a heartwarming film, which is based on a true story, please watch this film. It's beautiful in the extreme. So the premise is, it's a little boy in India, he's 5 years old. He goes to the train station with his brother, and his brother's going to get him some sweets, and he falls asleep on the bench, wakes up in the middle of the night, is calling for his brother, steps out onto a train, falls asleep. Before he knows it, he's 1,000 miles away, and he's five. And he ends up getting adopted and grows up in Australia. And it's how he puts together the fragmentary bits of memories that he has of how he can actually find his mother. And holy cow, Lucy, the little boy that acts him, that plays him, is a beautiful human being from the inside out. And it's shot so beautifully in those slums in Calcutta. And you just feel this little boy's bewilderment, because he's not only just 1,000 miles away, he speaks Hindi and they speak Bengali. So he just doesn't understand at all what's going on. And he lives as a little street urchin for a couple of years. But that last scene, I, if you don't cry, you know what? You're not a human being. Lucy, I was blubbing. It's beautiful. Please watch this film. Please watch it. If it doesn't win an Oscar, you know what? I will march down to that Oscar place and burn the fucker down. It has to win. It means
that
so
Oscar
much.
Place.
You know that theatre that all happens and they're all in their ball gowns and everything. It deserves to win. It's about family. It's about motherhood. It's about brothers. It's about resilience. It's about love. He's got so much heart, Lucy. I'm telling you, I cried myself to sleep. You know, saying, you know, anyway, shall we have some caller inners now? Because
it
was beautiful. You know me and my superhero nonsense, and I love them.
Yeah.
And what was lovely was, so not really a plot spoiler, but he's told about this thing called Google Earth, and he stares at it. And that's kind of how he figures out where exactly he was from. But my God, Lucy, that last scene. And then when they go into the whole, and here's the real footage of his actual real Australian family and his real mother in India. Oh, Jesus. Gone. I was gone. Lion. What, yeah. However you do it, folks.
Yes, just go and
go
see it.
Watch
just
it.
Stop,
go watch it.
Go watch it. Royfield up. Go and see it, please. Thank you.
Hello, Ambridge 3962.
Who's first, Lucy?
Who is first? That's a good question. Let's have...
Well, technically speaking, who's second?
Eh?
We've had Witherspoon.
What? Pardon? We've had Witherspoon, yes. Blythe Spirit.
All right.
Hello, Dumpty Dum, Blythe Spirit calling. Well, before I go any further, I just wanted to pay respects to Sarah Coward and to say that she will be very greatly missed. And in the story, I do hope that Caroline will carry on for at least a little while, having a wonderful time in Tuscany. But the main reason I called in this week, though, is because I've got more beef than the Brookfield herd. Am I the only person who's finding quite a few of the characters rather irritating? Anisha? Yeah, really irritating. Harrison? Former positive policeman? Now whiffling on about the village cricket team like he's having a breakdown over selecting the England first 11. Honestly, Harrison, get over it. Freddie's whiffling on about his maths. Lillian's in La La Land and heading for a fall. Pat's wringing her hands. But the person who is really driving me crazy, actually there's two. Number one, Eddie Grundy. When is that man going to stop grifting? And when is he going to start showing Oliver and Caroline the respect that they really deserve? That man never flies in formation. He puts Clary through no end of blooming problems. Eddie, just leave it alone. Be honest for a change. Be nice to people. You're always trying to duck and dive, and it's getting boring. My main beef, though, is with Kenton. I don't know what's happened to him over the last year, but he hasn't defended his mother against Toby. He really didn't believe what was going on with Helen. He took Rob's side. He didn't ban Rob from the Bull when he attacked Emma. And now he's colluding with Freddie to lie to his mother, his own sister, of course, Kenton's sister, about something as important as a maths GCSE, which could really affect his future prospects if he doesn't get that exam. And, oh yes, he's taken both Lily and Freddie out in a car, teaching them to drive when learners are not supposed to carry passengers. So he's even breaking the law. Scriptwriters, please do something about this. We love Kenton as a lord of misrule and a master of fun. But he's becoming a figure of fun and there's a massive disconnect here. Please do something about it. Anyway, that's it from me. I hope all's well and everyone's fine. Cheers now. Bye.
Oh, Blythe Spirit, everyone's always irritating. That's why we love it. I think Kenton's being pretty much according to type. I mean, he's always been a... He just doesn't think things through, does he? He's a creature of impulse. Yes, lord of misrule. But, you know, he's never... He's always the sort of person that would collude with Freddie to lie to Elizabeth because he's a big kid himself. He's got no idea that, you know, a duff GCSE will actually stop Freddie going to university. But please, God, don't try and make Freddie go to university. He'd hate it. It's completely the wrong environment. He needs to go out. Oh, no, he wants to be a town planner or something ludicrous, doesn't he? But, yes, I think...
What's
Kenton
ludicrous
is pretty
about
much...
being a town planner?
Nothing. It just seems very odd for somebody who's the scion of a sort of local noble family and lives in a sodding great country estate surrounded by parkland with a father who's an ecologist who's going off to go and design semi-detached houses in Kidderminster. But I don't know. Anyway,
town planners don't design houses. They might zone areas for residential use, but you don't actually design houses.
Oh, well, there you go then. He's just going to become one of those and zone things for residential use and then argue with Linda Snell for the rest of his adult life. So I don't reckon that Kenton is being that un-Kentonish. I think he's always been a little bit like that.
Like
I
Kenton.
Agree about the banning Rob, though. I found it difficult to swallow the fact that he didn't ban Rob after Rob had a go at Emma. Because he just sort of said to him, he said, get out tonight, didn't he? Go and sober up or get out or something. But he didn't actually say, and don't come back.
But you know
and
what,
Jolene,
though? I was going to say, Jolene...
debarred him on the spot, yeah.
Yeah, but still. But Jolene would have heard what happened and Jolene didn't do it.
No, it was quite odd. But I suppose they had to have somewhere for him to go because otherwise nobody would ever see him in a group, would they? Because he'd been barred from everywhere else. Even the shop wouldn't let him in. So he had to be somewhere.
Hmm.
Yes, that's it. Should we do Naked Fingers now?
Why not?
Hello, Dumpty Dummers. It's Naked Fingers here. I'm on white wine tonight, and it's Friday. Time for my regular call-in. And what struck me about tonight's Friday episode is that we had contrasting characters there, didn't we? We had the seemingly genteel woman of the city, who is actually an utter monster, and that's Miranda. God, wasn't she egregious? Terrible snob tonight. Terrible snob. I would never put up with such a thing. Never. And then we had Jazza, who is a bit rough, but he's got a heart of gold. And that scene between Tom and Jazza in the pub, I mean, at the farm, he called him out on his shit and then said, if you've got any sense, you'll come to the pub. A wise head on drunken shoulders there, Jazza. Good for you. I did shed a manly tear. I nearly did then too. Now, speaking of good male friends, I have to say hello to my work colleague, Simon Thompson, who I have to tell you all, I didn't know. I've known him for 10 or 12 years now. I didn't know until about 6 months ago that he listens to the Archers all the time. So guess what? I told him about Dumpty Dum, and now he's a regular listener. So, hello, Simon. Hope you're enjoying this. Take care. See you for coffee. Bye.
Naked Fingers, I think you shed a manly bottle of white wine. I think you were leaking Semillon Chardonnay rather than manly tears. Yes, it was lovely, the scene between Tom and Jazza. And hello to Simon, and thank you for introducing Simon to us. We hope you are enjoying it, Simon. If not, feel free to have strong words with Naked Fingers on tomorrow morning. And now we have Goddess Diva.
Hi, Dumpty Dum, Goddess Diva here. I'm ringing in to say hello and to say how much, even though I am Team Lillian and will always be Team Lillian, I am loving Miranda. She's hateful and loathsome. She's like Ursula Titchener, but without the redeeming features. Keep going with this one. And though we started to see a little bit of a vulnerable side, I don't care much for that. Much like a lukewarm Amuse Bouche, I'd rather just see her as a villain. We've been missing Ursula, we've been missing Hazel. We haven't seen Hazel really for a long while. That's rotten, nasty, slippy. And loving Miranda. She's just horrible. Move over, Kate Madicani. There's a new cowbag in town. Okie dokie. Love you all loads. Got a Stever out.
I know. Miranda is ace, but I am starting. I know I shouldn't, and I know she's horrid, and we're all Team Lillian, and rah, rah, rah. But I am starting to feel a bit sorry for her. She is very well aware that she is being made a total laughingstock. Everybody knows, including Jennifer, who is, you know, trying to suck up to her. To, you know, Jennifer wants it both ways. Jennifer doesn't want... She is perfectly happy knowing that her sister is rogering Miranda's husband, but she still can't bear the idea that Miranda might look down her nose at them. You know, you can't have it both. If you've decided, yes, this is okay, I'm going to ignore this and accept that my sister is sleeping with someone else's husband, fine, but then accept that you can't then be friends with the wife. You know, you cannot have it both ways, one or the other. But Jennifer is so anxious to kind of appease everybody and make sure that people in power like her, that she's sort of, I don't know, there's something really unsavory about it. And it's making me actually feel sorry for Miranda, who is an absolute witch. But I can't really.
Yeah, well, what it is.
I mean, no, am I oversensitive or not?
No. It is all slightly bizarre.
And you know, she sees a wistfulness to Miranda, you know, where she sort of said, oh, no, I'm spoke. After Anisha had put her foot in it and said, oh, no, I saw, you know, Lillian in the pub with Justin. I've seen them a few times. And then she said, I'm Justin's wife. And then she said, anyway, I've got to go and buy him a Valentine's card now. You could just sort of imagine her stomping off in her barber thinking, bloody hell, you know.
One thing I did think about all of this, trying to understand really what's going on, is that Jennifer, for years, has accepted Bryant's infidelities, hasn't she?
Mm, yeah.
And for her, these things happen, and what you've got to do is get on. You just get on. These things happen. As long as you don't play it out too much in the open, it's fine. There can be no negotiated round. And if you think about her perspective that way, it makes much more sense, her acquiescing to this.
That's
you
true.
Know, you know, yeah. this whole yeah. thing. So yeah. that way it kind of made sense for me. And then, as you kind of alluded to as well, you said it's people in power. It says that she sees Miranda completely as a social equal, doesn't she? So she wants the curry favour with her. And also the fact that she's up from London. So she has this air of sophistication as well. So, but yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. But I'm a little bit worried about our Lillian in all of this, though. On the one hand, she seems to be able to handle it. And then on the other hand, she does have these pangs.
Well, there's a little bit of me thinks the lady does protest too much. You know, she's always telling everybody how absolutely fine she is with this, and no, she wouldn't like it any other way, and no, she's absolutely fine about it. And you think, really? You wouldn't keep? I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe not. I don't know. But there's, you know, when arrangements get cancelled constantly, when, you know, the person can't be there for your birthday or for Christmas or for, you know, whatever, holidays and all that, it sort of, it rapidly loses its appeal. It's not all, you know, running around people's gardens in a negligee and wellies. You know, there's a lot of very boring hanging around, I think, which is soon going to lose its attraction. And by the sound of it, Miranda is not going back again, is she? You know, she's copped on to the fact that Justin is being quite blatant about Lillian. So she's thinking, right, well, then I have no choice but to just stay here. I don't want to, but it's either that or be made to look a laughing stock. So that's what I'm going to have to do.
Mm.
It's a horrible situation for all of them.
What?
Should we do for email Justin, now?
Horrible for Justin?
Well, kind. Well, no, maybe not, because he's so amoral. He probably doesn't feel guilty in the slightest, does he? But, you know, he's a bit spineless, isn't he? So he's forever saying to Miranda, yes, darling. No, darling. Yes, I quite see, darling. Da-da-da-da-da. And then he's apologising. He's just apologising to everybody, which is not a good way to be, really, is it? Not for your, for the inner man. Not great.
Yes,
can we
Lucy.
Do an emailer innerer?
Oh, yes. Why not?
You know Christine and Stephen, who are doing their
bike ride.
Their mammoth bike ride.
Yes.
Well, she said, we managed to successfully complete our cycle ride to Houston. No problem, apart from being repeatedly attacked by dogs in Texas. Now, you see, to me, that would be a problem. But anyway, for visa reasons, we did a side trip to Costa Rica. And so much better than being chased by vicious dogs. Staying on in Central America for a while. In Panama, about to take bus to Nicaragua. I'm slightly worried that we're the only people who know where they are. If there's a problem, someone alert the authorities. But anyway, concerning the Archers, surely Brian's proposed purchase of land from a company he is chair of, after negotiating only with Justin, the chair of the main shareholder, without it going to the market to establish a fair price, is dodgy. Yes. Also, who would lay out over 2 million quid without thinking of the effects of Brexit on the cost of the land if purchasing at the moment? Regards, Christina Stephen. Very true. I am sure Cosmo will have an answer to that. Cosmo is in a constant state of despair about the way Damara continues its business. In fact, we were talking, the New York Dumpty Dummers and I, were talking about the fact that what has exactly happened with Barrow Farm? Is it like the Mari Celeste? Just this abandoned, you know, shell of a building?
Of a mega dairy. Yes.
Yeah. Are there, did the cows go? Are there, or are there skeletal cows wandering around? Wandering you know, it's just, it's going to be like, it's this huge thing that's just, you know, taken over a whacking great chunk of the village. And now there's nobody in it. It's these abandoned buildings. Are we just going to pretend it was never there? I don't know. Andrew Richards. Now, he needs a recap.
Oh, whoa. Right. You do this constantly, right? Where you just like blithely march off like some bloody school headmistress saying, come on, yes, exactly. Come on, everybody.
No.
Listen, well, stop. Stop and enjoy the surroundings. Now, listen.
I've got a PTA meeting at 6:30.
No, Nicaragua. So I tweeted a picture that I was by the Pacific Ocean.
Yeah.
And stick that in your crawl, everybody, and look at that view. And she came up and trumped me. She says, well, I'm in Nicaragua. And look at my view. Just saying. And that's what I was waiting to say whilst you were careering through that email. And then I said, so what's that? Is that the Pacific or is that the Caribbean? Up and look at Andrew. No, so it's a lake, because Nicaragua is famous for all its lakes. It looked absolutely gorgeous, Lucy. Gorgeous, 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 gorgeous. Love
them. Me and Susan Ray went to see David Sedaris do one of his livey shows.
Mm-hmm.
And he does this very, very funny thing about Nicaragua and how you can spot somebody's academic credentials by how exaggeratedly they say Nicaragua, and really they kind of really Spanish it up to sort of to prove how PC they are and all that. And he said it can get more and more kind of extended, so it's Nicaragua in the end. And he said and just after that, about 3 days later, Susan was giggling her head off, and then she had to read the news, and it appeared in the news, and I thought, please don't laugh, because I thought, I wonder if she's going to go, Nicaragua, I was like, but she managed to control herself.
I just want to bring this back, because we need to slightly fill for a little bit of time this week, right?
We've got so many emails.
Okay, this will be quick. This will be really quick, right?
And I've got a governor's meeting, but yes.
Okay, this is going to be super quick, right? there's a review of Lion by a reviewer, funnily enough. And he isn't fulsome in his praise for this.
Oh.
And you should see the comments, folks. Just go into variety.com, type in Lion, and then look at the read the review, then look at the comments. Summed up by, this is the worst film review I've ever seen. I came away thinking, if this movie doesn't move you to tears, you must be a sociopath and a psychopath. You know what? Never a truer line in terms of a comment put on a movie has ever been penned. Please.
When I've been talking about Lillian, have you been Googling reviews of
Lion? No. It was just up because I said to myself, we're going to start Dum-de-Dum. I need to mention this, and I was going to mention the name of the actor. So that's it was already there, and I haven't at all. But it's Dev Patel.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. He was in
Slumdog.
Slumdog.
Yeah.
Yes.
And many other things besides. But my God, I'm not going to say yaks out of his skin in this. He doesn't. And the plot in and of itself is relatively thin. But it just what the film means and represents and just the reunion. Holy camoly. Anyway, emails. Come on, Lucy. You've got a governor's meeting.
Andrew Richards. He needs you to recap, Royf. He says, I've not called in before, but I've heard enough first-time caller inners to know that there are rules that one must abide by. How long should the message be? What
no
info
more than
must
2 minutes.
We include? Where can I find these rules?
Cosmo.
And who gets to choose my caller inner name?
All right. You choose your own caller inner name. Okay.
Yes.
You whatever you want to call yourself is whatever you call yourself. And the reason
it's
why.
It's usually what people's names are on Twitter.
On Twitter. Exactly. That's the reason why some people have funny names like Blythe Spirit or Goddess Diva. So that's that.
No, Goddess Diva is actually christened Goddess Diva.
I think you'll find that's incorrect. That's fake news, Lucy. Fake. That's an alternative fact.
Poor Dumpty Dum. It has no listeners. Very bad. Poor. Yeah.
The failing podcast Dumpty Dum.
The man's a nutter, isn't he? Oh,
Jesus. Don't start me, Lucy. Do not start me on Donald J. Trump. Cosmo is actually writing up, is codifying the rules. Literally,
he
as we podcast, he
Cosmo.
Says,
very...
he... has he?
No, but Trump has. Small hand. Carry on.
As we podcast, Cosmo is actually codifying all of the rules and has actually given them to somebody for them to try out on a caller in a recall. And he says, depending on how they get on, then I'll actually post them to dumdydum.com. So, yeah, I love Cosmo.
Nothing,
he takes these things
thorough.
Very seriously.
When it's the end of the world, I think Cosmo was leading us to safety. I think I want his mobile number. Yes, right. Leslie Greaves. She is complaining because I whizzed through the phone number so fast she couldn't make SpeakPipe work and she couldn't hear the phone number because I did it so quick. Anyway, she doesn't understand Lillian's attitude to Rob and the flood. Her friends and family were affected by it and she's just brushed it off. Surely it's corporate crime. She and Justin are culpable if they try and cover it up. What happens when Linda finds out? She's going to sue their asses off for the stress of losing Scruff. Never mind poor Frieda. If Damara are sued for millions, Brian might be able to buy all the land for a snip. Again, this seems to have gone quiet. Pat seems to have sort of forgotten that she ever knew that there was a reason why Helen could get rid of Rob so successfully.
Mm.
You know, because Helen said to him, I know what happened. I know what happened. And I know that you weren't a hero. You were, you know, the cause of it, some of it. But everything, you know, she's... what we sort of suspected might happen seems to have happened in that Pat's now just been sort of consumed with the Tom and Kirsty thing and looking after Helen. She's kind of forgotten that bit, so maybe it will restart later, but yes, it's all gone very quiet, annoyingly, because that would have been a lovely way of churning up the whole Justin and Brian thing. But yeah, it's just all gone quiet. And in fact, Brian stopped chirping on about the land grab, hasn't he?
Well, I suppose we've had other things to contend with this week, but but the party, we have had it kind of rumbling in the background, because the party is to celebrate that, really, isn't it? You know, Jennifer, let's have a party, you know.
Yes.
Hmm.
Who have we got now? Ah, now, this is Di Quick, who I met in... What are you laughing at?
You. Ah, ooh, ah. You know, it's like... Cat in the Hot Tin Roof.
This is Di, who I met in New York, and she's lovely. She describes herself as a recent Dumpty Dum acolyte. And thank God I found you. In the post-inauguration world, you're one of the few things that makes me laugh on a regular basis. I think actually we could probably thank Donald Trump, because I think a lot of our American listeners are appreciating the levity of entering a fictional world that is actually safe, rather than the fictional world that lunatic's trying to create that is wildly unsafe. Anyway, she was born in Scotland and brought up in England, and she's lived in Brooklyn for many years. She says this is the five stages of Archer's addiction. Ooh. To be checked by Witherspoon to ensure accuracy. Stage one, awareness, 1960s and 70s.
Whoa. Has Witherspoon actually penned an academic psychoanalytical paper about the five stages of Archer's listenerdom? Have I missed something here?
No, Diana has.
But why does Witherspoon need to check it for accuracy?
Because it's like the five stages of grief that you get in psychotherapy.
Oh, okay. I'm glad you cleared that up. All right, I'm just going to sip on my coffee and just take this all in. All right, smash it. Go on.
Awareness, 1960s and 70s, Archers in the background as my mum and granny listened.
Yep.
Stage two, denial, was the college years where she moved to America and forgot. About the Archers. Stage three was rediscovery, which was internet radio coming into her home in New York, and discovering it, the omnibus, on Sunday morning at 5 a.m. Mm-hmm. She gets up very early. We talked about getting up very early. Stage four, love, when she finds a podcast and she can download and listen to one episode at a time on the subway going home every night. Mm-hmm. And stage five, obsession, which is discovering the Archers on social media, the Facebook Archers page, the Plarchers, greatly missed, and finally Dumpty Dum. And now she's forgotten all her other podcasts, and it's pretty much the Archers and Dumpty Dum.
There's another stage, though, isn't there, really?
Sectioning.
What's that? Well, before sectioning, right, there's the kind of the... Everybody has it at some point. You get angry because you're so involved with it, aren't you? And some storyline...
Yes. Resentment at the way that they're manipulating you.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're really annoyed that they... It's the Rob and Helen story, isn't it? I don't want to feel like this. It's not nice. It's not fun. I don't like it. But I can't stop listening.
True that. But yeah, I think that's pretty good. What was she like? Was she nice? Was she lovely?
Lovely. Really nice. Yes. They all were.
Wish I was there. Now, do you remember I said we're going to have a better meetup over here?
Yeah.
I've done naff all about it. I've had two people email me. I've had Audrey Ann. I've had Jennifer Reba. I've had about three people say, is it happening this weekend? So this weekend's actually come and gone. So maybe in 2 weeks' time. But I'm really going to put my back into it, and we're going to have a bigger and better event than your little damp squib of a meal with your coastal elite friends, whatevs. All right, we done all the emails now? Because I've got things that I need to do today.
Yes, we have.
Because it's President's Day over here, and I've got the President's podcast to finish. Right, let's come back. Now, folks, I'm going to say this. By the time this show goes out, fingers crossed, there should be an episode of Walkie Talkie. This is kind of my fault, not Lucy's. There's wheels and motions, and you can't just release a podcast nowadays. It's got to go to podcast committees.
Wheels have got to go over the motions.
Absolutely. And it's taken much longer than I ever thought was going to be possible. However, I believe, as we record this on Monday morning, by the time you listen to this, which should be Tuesday sometime, It should be up. If not, it will be up at some point this week. So keep looking, because it's well worth a listen. There you go.
I will be obviously telling people when it's up, but I don't know either. So we just get told it's up, and then off we go.
Exactly. Yeah. All right, let's come back the other side.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
With a touch of Millie Bell Down Under, with some social media roundups of all things Archers and Damdy Dam like. In an uncertain world, there is always music which can be listened to in good company. Welcome to Friday 15, the show where we speak to friends and interesting people to the backdrop of great tunes and allocate 15 minutes to both.
I mean, I was 8 years old, interesting, the same age as the Dragon King's daughter when she comes out of the sea. But what was happening to me when I was 8 years old was that I was at the hands of a paedophile in a classroom for a year. And
awesome, yeah. For me, and I think the reason that I somehow managed to win in the end is that for me it's about an economy of the three things that bring a song together.
Catch up with me speaking to friends and interesting people every Friday afternoon on Friday 15, which you can get, of course, from a podcatcher of your choice.
Hello, I'm Lucy, and this is Walkie Talkie. I walk my dog, Basil, pretty much every day in a foresty bit of London. I have been doing so for about 4 years, and I meet people that, as a dog walker, you talk to people. If your dogs get on, you tend to just, you say, which way are you going? Can I come with you? And you just sort of amble along, and you can end up having the most extraordinary conversations. Partly because you are walking side by side and facing front, so there's no embarrassing eye contact. If things get a bit heavy, if someone starts talking about something that they find emotional or difficult, then you can always divert your attention onto the dogs and relieve the tension a little bit. We've seen, as a group of dog walkers, we've seen people get pregnant, have children. We've seen people whose dogs have become ill and died, and the owner says, oh, I can never have another one. And then in a couple of months' time, they appear with a puppy, and everyone's delighted to see them. And we've seen people's marriages break down, new romances start. It's a lovely way to start your morning. It never fails to give me something nice to think about, something interesting to think about, even if it's not nice. And having a dog is a sort of a a universality, really. The people aren't all like me, as I hope you'll realise over the course of the series.
G'day, Millie Bell here. Now, I'm going to be honest with you, I have never heard of Hardeep Singh Kohli, but I think I'm just a little bit in love. What a lovely man, and so insightful, and a fabulous co-host with Royfield. So thank you very much to everyone who brought that to us, because I really enjoyed that. And now to slightly sadder things. We did discuss on Facebook Kirsty, who saw that coming, and we were, of course, talking about the miscarriage. Fiona Siobhan Powell said, no, didn't see it coming. But as I shed a tear, I reflected that second trimester carriages are like that. One minute, all is well, and you think you're past the danger zone. Next minute, it's all going wrong. Having experienced it myself, like millions of women and no doubt thousands of TA listeners, I can contest that this story brought back very sad memories and was utterly true to life. Terribly sad. I do hope that the scriptwriters have something in place to show Kirsty and Tom grieving and having some ritual guided by others to help them grieve. It was, for me, a lovely midwife who encouraged me to name the baby and have a little ceremony. This was back in the dark ages when hospitals, etc., did nothing. I believe many modern hospitals have little areas and ceremonies for miscarriages as well as stillbirths. Poor Kirsty, a truly sad experience. Thank you so much for sharing that, Fiona, and I did ask her permission before reading that on to the podcast. And I also thought it was very true to life and very sad. And yes, you're right, many of us have been there, and we really understand how difficult that is for both her and Tom. We also talked about the loss of Sarah Coward, who played Caroline Sterling. And Robert Dwyer Joyce said, I loved Caroline. Sarah Coward played her so brilliantly. She was all understated upper-class British accent and beef bourguignon. R.I.P. Connie Nolan said, when I first started listening in the 1980s, I thought the character she played was a stuck-up cow. Then I realised she was a great actress to provoke that response. R.I.P. There are others, but let's finish with Ruth Pearl. My early memories of the artist are of the friendship and interaction of Caroline and Shula. R.I.P. And the reason I think that's a really good one to end on is, of course, that friendship was steadfast throughout the years. So, yep, good pick up there. We also put up a reference to Clary. I'm wondering if she will ever learn. And Zoe Picton said, finding the storyline very annoying. Seems we've heard it too many times before. Think Clary is much more on the ball than she was portrayed today. Witherspoon said, she's otherwise a very sensible person. Note her good advice to Pat, but has a blind spot with her husband. She refuses to believe he's a corner cutter schemer until consequences hit her in the face. She then gets angry but repeats her behaviour. See Freud, repetition compulsion. And Caroline Moss said, I've checked her at B&B, TripAdvisor, etc., and there's still no accounts for Grange Farm in Ambridge. So if someone could just nip round and have a quick word with Clary, there's still time for her to see sense. She'll give you a nice slice of Madeira with your cuppa. Thank you very much indeed. And we also posted up a link, which I must admit I got from his wonderfulness, Kerry Davis, for an article about Lucy V. Freeman and her new podcast. So there's a link there on our Facebook page, and it's actually really interesting reading. I think if you don't know about it, you should go read now, because I certainly learned a lot about Lucy. And my warmest wishes, of course, go to her. We have also been active on the forum talking about similar issues largely. So if you would like to get involved with us, either on the forum or on Facebook page. I hope by now you know how to find me and Yoko Bear. We are on Facebook and every other Dumpty Dum listener who's signed up to the forum. And you can talk about Kirsty's baby or where else you've seen the actors from the Archers. You can talk about any of those issues and you can talk about it with friends. You can also sign up for Tractor and get our latest statistics. So all the good stuff. Until next time, hooroo!
Millie Bell, thank you for that. That was
TikTok. Thank you, Millie Bell.
Awesome. Lickety split and all of that. Lucy, we didn't have any of these last week as well. I tell you, we had to just talk about some real crapola just to fill the podcast up. I'm telling you. There's no tweets of
and
the
you
week.
Find that such a struggle, don't you?
Have you noticed that I had that? Yes. Yes, yes, that jibe was well was well aimed in my direction. Yeah. Go on, give us some tweets.
John Porter, pie in a pint. He was talking about Jennifer and her catering. Three words, Jennifer: Iceland prawn ring. That always makes me kind of just the idea of that is just so appalling. Anyway, Katie Swift. Poor Henry. Soup again. Does he know what solid food tastes like? He never even got that tuna bake. Poor Henry. I know when she said, oh, Henry loves a bowl of leek and potato soup when he comes in from school. No, he doesn't. He wants a bit of cake. That's what children want when they're coming from school. Not sodding grey vegetable soup. Madness. Anyway, David Absalom, who's at British Pictures, said, traditionally, children in Ambridge don't speak from the age of six until the post-GCSE piss-up. Henry is now six. I like tradition. This is very true. Yes, I think everybody is thinking. Now, the next person is a new-to-me person on Twitter, and this is the first podcast of ours he's listening to. James, who is at MaybeJT. And he said he daredn't listen to the podcast or be a caller in error because he gets too angry about the Archers because he loathes Jill and Henry with such a passion. But he was replying to somebody else and he said, Jill Archer is not played by an actress. It's the Jillatron 5000 and it is randomised intonation.
That's harsh beyond belief. And I think that's just...
And Royfield laughing his head off then was obviously a figment of your imagination. He was not doing that. Nicky Edwards was talking about Jazza and his philosophical cheering up to Tom and just put Mac Yoda, which I very much liked. Tsar Chris.
How many tweets you got this week? Are you making up for... Jesus.
Yes, I am.
All right.
Tsar Chris had Pat talking to Henry and saying, you've got mummy and me. And Grandad, Henry, put that knife down. And Christine Adgo said, anyone affected tonight by Miranda's story needs to start shopping in Waitrose. Sunday the 12th had Lillian and Miranda, otherwise known as Gin and Bitter Lemon, which is, yes, Miranda is the ultimate bitter lemon. And Julian Smith has a knock-knock joke for us, Royf, so I will be asking you to do the other part. Knock-knock.
Who's there?
Rob.
Rob who?
Ah, oh, how soon we forget.
That's good.
Oh, dear. And that's the end.
Oh, that was good. That was well done. Well done, tweet of the week person. Awesome, smashing. Right. We have a crisis, folks. Have you heard about this crisis, Lucy?
Oh, God. Have we?
Well, listen, it's not a crisis you need to lose any sleep over. It's not like the end of liberal democracy throughout the Western world.
Listen. It's the British Podcast Awards launch.
Yes, I know. Go on.
What do you mean, yes?
No, go on. Talky talk. Say what you're going to say.
No, I've just found out about it. How do we end? Oh, my God. February the 5th. We've missed it. Sod it. Oh, yeah. No. Entries close on Monday the 6th of March.
Yeah. I knew we hadn't missed it at all.
Okay.
All right. Go on.
My dad wrote porno is going to win everything, isn't it?
Why? Because we can't win every category.
That's true.
Go on. So, man the barricades, give a stirring speech, tell people to go to that website and nominate us.
Go to that website and nominate us.
Why don't you click on the link, read how you need to be submitted or nominated, whilst I talk about the crisis that's happening on dumdydum.com.
Yes, sorry. Okay. Yes. Right. Yes. I'll do that.
Right. Dumdydum.com, folks. It's a website which you go there and it pertains to this podcast and to the Archers. Now, we have stuff on there, new stuff. And one of them is Dumpty Dogs. So if you go on to the homepage, each Dumpty Dog that has been so given that hashtag on the Twitters is going to have their own page. And Cosmo, because he's got nothing else to do with this time, if he's not jetting around the world, he's actually collating them all, and then I whack them up. So we've got Angus Haggis, then we've got Miss Alliance's Two Pooches on there as well. So if you've submitted a Dumpty Dog on the Twitters, you'll find it actually eventually on dumdydum.com.
Is this the crisis?
No, that's okay. What's the opposite of a crisis?
A really good thing?
Exactly. So that's the really good thing. The crisis is the fact that the forum is like tumbleweed. Now, it needs love. It needs you to go on there and just say something, say anything, as long as it's kind of Archers related. There's even a section, if it's not Archers related, you can even put it down. So you want to rail against the fall of liberal democracy throughout the Western world, the fact that the Front National are leading the polls in France, about the rising tide of racism in Eastern Europe, you can go on to the any other business section and talk about that. So if you just got stuff you need to get off your chest, please go on to dumdydum.com, go on to the forum. Now, Tractor is chugging along. Tractors probably don't chug. But anyway,
they do chug. That's exactly what they do.
Do they? Smash it.
I was thinking what a good analogy that was.
All right. So Tractor is on there. Now, I need you, good listener, don't just go and pin yourself to the map. That's awesome, smashing and super and all of that. But get involved. If there's somebody close by you and you see, they're only 5 miles down the road, why don't you pin them a little tweet, send them a little Facebook DM and whatever, and say, let's meet up and have a coffee and talk about the Archers. Because you know what? There's scant else other positive things going on in the world right now. So just like indulge yourself in your passion, get onto Tractor. And unless you are like the one dumdydum listeners pinned themselves in Norway, or you are the one person who's pinned themselves in Germany, okay, well, they've got reason for not taking it any further. But if you're somebody who is in, I don't know, the bloody Bay Area of San Francisco. That's a bad example, because that's me. Sorry. But if you happen to be a dumdydum listener who's in Glasgow, holy bloody camoli, there's about 8 of you. Get it sorted, right? This podcast is about bringing people together. Now, Lucy, have I filled enough for you to find out how we can actually go win this award? Because you know what? I want to turn up in my best bib and tucker and give a rousing speech. Go.
Yeah, but, Roy Field, I can't tell which category we come under.
I think it has to be TV. So it's like we're talking about
TV, film and books.
Yeah, it has to be that, which means we're going to lose to my dad wrote a porno if it's books. Because on iTunes, we're in the TV section anyway, because there isn't a radio section. There isn't a radio section where you comment on the radio. We're anomalous. No. So I had to put us in TV.
The anomaly section. Oh, okay. All right, then. Well, I'll submit an entry, and then I'll tell you when it's up, everybody, and then you can all click on it and nominate us.
No, but this is a serious thing, though, folks. Right.
I know that was my serious voice. It didn't sound it.
No, it didn't at all. It sounded like you're playing this thing for laughs, Lucy.
God help us if I don't take but Dumpty Dum seriously. Where would we be?
Listen, right? There are thousands of listeners throughout the globe, right, who are viscerally a part of this. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Look at all the work that Millie Bell does in Australia.
I know.
Right? This award isn't for you and me. It's for Millie Bell. It's for Cosmo. No, it's for Witherspoon. It's for Blythe Spirit.
This award isn't just for us because we're not going to win it. But anyway.
This nomination so isn't just for us then.
Kilt away.
But it isn't just for us though, is it, the nomination? No. It's for Jacqueline Berthaud in Brittany.
Yes.
It's for Bernie McGuire in Madrid.
Yes.
It's for Vicky Cole in Kenya.
Yes. And it's your for... never-ending mission to get into our pants.
Whose? I'm not going to Kenya. Cole. No! What's the matter with you? Ugh, Lucy, she's a happily married woman. No! It's just... I can't believe the insinuation. Just because you like somebody doesn't mean that you need to have or want to have sexual congress with them. I like you. I couldn't think of anything more distasteful than for you and I to roll around. But I like you.
All right. Let's go on, shall we?
No. Sorry, I did. That came out all slightly wrong. I upped the ante.
I would say that.
I went to 12 in terms of anything more distasteful because I think you're a lovely human being, and I quite often marvel at your insight and your emotional intelligence and everything. Sorry, that came all out all wrong. There's nothing going on between myself and Vicky Cole. She's in Kenya. I'm in San Francisco. It's all good. We're just friends.
Distance doesn't normally stop you, Royfield, can I just say?
Anyway, go on to dumdydum.com, folks, and please, let's bring that forum to life. And if you've got a dumdy dog, a dumdy diddler, a dumdy mog, hashtag them up on the Twitters, and then Cosmo will do his thing, and then he's funneling them over to me, and then I'm whacking them.
Our next thing will be, if you have any plumbing requirements, we're doing Dumpty Drain.
Funny you should say that, actually. But this lovely African American gentleman came round and unblocked our drains the other day. Oh, he was a lot of fun. But that's a conversation for another time. Now, folks, we are.
I can't wait to hear about gentleman that came round and unblocked.
It just come back from Bora Bora. I kid
really?
You not. Yeah. It came back from Bora Bora. And I said, do you have any adventures? And he says, oh, we went on this schooner and blah, blah, blah. And he says, there's one thing I'll say about the people from the Pacific. They're either incredibly drop-dead, unfeasibly beautiful, or just fat. He said, it's one or the other. Oh, he was a character. But anyway, moving swiftly on, folks, there's a couple of ways you can help keep our ramshackle podcast on the road. We might not win any awards, but you know what, right? We deserve a little bit of help every now and then, even a monthly kind of stipend that you'd like to throw us our way. You can just help us by donating. Hit that donate button on our website. Or if you'd like to commit to a proper ongoing relationship with Lucy and I, you can maybe go on to patreon.com.
Well, you can marry us both. Who knows?
Neither of us are actually married, are we?
No.
Ooh.
But I'm so distasteful, nobody would want to.
That came out all wrong. You know, I was caught in a moment and then... Go on to patreon.com and each time I post a show, it takes $2 from your credit card and then whacks it into our... Let's save our website from not being hacked again fund. Ah, which reminds me, somebody whose name escapes me sent me a link to an article found on the BBC. Oh. Millions of websites have been hacked. Have you heard about this?
Yes, it was NZ Quinn.
Yes, of course. Our friend in New Zealand.
I need to go because it's the governor's meeting.
I'm wrapping this up right. So... help us by doing that now. Moving swiftly on. Remember, folks, you can get in contact by sending us a voice message via SpeakPipe on our website. It's the little red tabby thing. Or you can call us on, I'm going to say this slowly, 02030313105. Because some people can't take that if I kind of say at normal speaking speed. To leave us a telephonic message on social media, specifically Twitter, you can find us where we're at dumdydumme. I'm at Royford. Harry is at Sandbridges. Lucy is
at Lucy V Freeman
on Facebook. We've got a Facebook page. Go there, type in dumdydum, get in with the fun. I think that's just about it.
Lovely.
Toodaloo.
Bye.
Let's start with where you're from.
Calcutta.
Which part?
I'm adopted. I'm not really Indian. I'm starting to remember.
Saru, you're a beautiful boy.
We're very proud of yourself.
A life I'd forgotten.
Are you okay?
I had another family. A mother. A brother. I can still see their faces.
What happened?
Idhar ja mat. Main kal ka kaam nipat ke aa jaunga.
Guddu? Guddu?
Way back home.
How long were you on the train?
A couple of days.
A couple of days.
It would take a lifetime to search all the stations in India.
Do you have any idea what it's like? How every day my real brother screams my name?
I always thought that I could keep this family together. I need you, Saru.
What if you do find home and they're not even there? And you just keep searching?
I don't have a choice.
What was she like?
Beautiful. Every night I imagine that I'm walking those streets home. And I know every single step of the way. And I whisper in her ear, I'm here.
Hello, Dumpty Dumbers. Naked Fingers here again.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Sorry, I think I forgot to say bollocks.